Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 253 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here this week. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How was the birthday?
I'm actually here.
Yes, you're here. How was the birthday?
Very good. Had a very nice time. Lots of drink and food.
Yes. And how old is it now? 53?
No. I'm going backwards.
54?
I'm 39 now.
Okay, so you're 41. So I'm lightning with the maths there, but there we go. So what did you have for your birthday? Any special treats?
Oh, what did I have? Lots of clothes, perfume.
You're not wearing any new ones tonight, though, are you? You've got your favourite bobbly jumper on and a pair of work trousers.
These are my comfies.
Of which the hem has fallen apart on your work trousers.
It did. It fell down today and I put my leg up and I thought, oh dear.
Where were you putting your leg to cause that to happen?
No, like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, crossing your legs.
Crossing my legs.
In the best possible taste, I am sure.
Yes.
Right, before we get to what's coming up on the show, it is time to do the draw for our competition. We have the
winners here.
There's only one winner in there. You just haven't drawn it out yet. Okay, so we have the bag of goodies. We have the nice milk bar bag. We have the T-shirt, the mug, fridge magnet,
an opener as well,
and a bottle opener, milk bottle opener. Which is strangely ironic. And a slightly bent fridge magnet down there. So that's the prize. And we draw out
the people.
Draw out a bit of paper for us.
Do you want me to draw it out or you?
You can draw it out. Go on.
Okay.
You can hand it to me to read.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is. Oh. Mark Hawking. I have ripped it in half. Mark on one side, Hawking on the other. So thank you for your entry. You said hello, as requested. And thank you for getting in touch. Hello to you too. And we'll drop you an email and get your prize sorted out for you, wherever in the world you may be.
Oh, yes, it might cost you a lot if you're packaging it over to Australia.
We'll see what happens. We have listeners in Hawaii as well, so it could be anywhere. However, what's going on in Wolverhampton this week? Tell us more who's on the show.
We'll be talking to Anne Bickley about the Fair Trade picnic that's coming in Bantock Park on the 10th of May.
And it's the same day as the brand new Fair Trade shop opens on Salop Street. We'll be hearing all about that too. In the studio, Dan Morris. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad at all, thanks.
Good stuff. And you are preparing yourself for a bike ride.
Yes, Dan the cycling man.
Preparing, yes.
And it's a long way, and we will find out more about that all in aid of it's actually cycling for Harry, in memory of Harry Moseley.
Yeah.
That's on the way a little bit later on.
Music. We have a very exciting lady on, Alexis Houston.
Some fantastic music on the way, I can promise you that much.
But first of all,
the play That Goes Wrong arrives at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Tuesday the 29th of April through Saturday the 3rd of May. And one of the writing team behind it, and also he's in the play too, Jonathan Sayer. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Really good, mate, really good.
So the play That Goes Wrong, I'm sure you've been asked before, has it tempted fate?
Occasionally, obviously. You know, the show's all about things going wrong, so we try and keep it as choreographed as humanly possible. But yeah, we have had a few kind of moments where things go awry. But it's kind of funny, because if the show actually goes wrong, then it kind of means it goes right, if that makes any sense.
Nobody knows, that's the important part.
Exactly, it's a perfect show to get away with stuff.
So how did this all come about then?
Okay, well, it's written by a group of three of us, so myself and then two other guys, both called Henry Shields and Henry Lewis. And about 14 months ago now, 15 months ago, we wrote a play that went on at the Old Red Lion Theatre Pub, which is a little pub theatre in Islington, down in London. And that was an hour-long show. And we wrote it really just because we were bored of working in pubs and bars and call centres and all that kind of stuff. And we wanted to create a bit of work for ourselves. Put the show on over Christmas and just kind of got a great response. We did it again at the pub theatre. And slowly that's just kind of built up. We did a small stint in a small West End theatre. And then we moved on to this amazing tour that we're on at the moment. And then we come back into London at the end of the tour and kind of go back into the West End. So that's kind of a brief history of the show. If that answers the question.
It's all good. And it sounds like you've probably enjoyed putting it all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so much fun. The group started off as an improv company. So kind of a lot of what we do has that kind of real live kind of feeling where anything could happen. So we wanted to write something that had that kind of feel at its core. So I think the idea of a play going wrong where the stakes are very, very high really kind of lends itself to the work that we to the work that we do.
Now, obviously, there's going to be a fair few stunts. There's going to be great on-stage action. But which is the bit that has the most habit of going actually wrong when you're performing? Is there one bit which you think, well, as based on the play, it doesn't matter, but there's one bit that always goes wrong?
I'm trying to think what bits have actually gone wrong. We've had... I don't want to give too much away.
No.
The whole show kind of at the end, we I don't want to, again, I give you a little clue, but we kind of bring the house down. So there's a lot of things that fall. You can try and be as health and safety conscious as you can, but we've had a few people kind of have stuff land on them, so that's happened. But I don't think we've got a particular moment that we struggle with. I'm trying to think. We've got we have a dog in the show. That we kind of recruit. We recruit, we have a competition called Pop Idol. So every week we get a different dog. we don't know the dog before we go on stage. We usually have about three different dogs in the week. So the dog often causes problems because they're never trained. So sometimes we've had a dog try to run into the orchestra pit. We've had a dog with stage fright. we've had a dog desperate to come on probably a little bit too soon. So the dog often causes a lot of problems.
And animals are always probably the worst things to work with, aren't they, to be fair? So
yeah, the adage is children and dogs.
It's a bit of a no-go, and you're putting it all in the hands of fate and seeing what actually happens next. So it's obviously a comedy. It's a family comedy.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think the one thing that we're really pleased about it is that there's so much in there for everyone. So it's a nice universal comedy. So yeah, there's stuff in there that kind of young professionals can see and really enjoy. There's stuff in there for kind of, probably not kids, but younger people. Families can definitely come. It's definitely a family-friendly show. There's a lot of big visual stunts in there. So personally, myself, I'm really interested in old silent comedies. So there's a lot of kind of nods to the greats, to Keaton and to Chaplin. So it's a big deal, cool stunts. So I think visually, it's a very cool show. Obviously, it is all really, really safe, but I think it looks very dangerous and really cool when it happens. And then there's kind of some more, there's other gags just about shows going wrong, with that being the wrong props coming on stage, the lines getting put in the wrong way, guns not going off when they're supposed to, then going off when they're not supposed to. So kind of every kind of joke based around things going wrong that you could think of.
And when you've got the cast together for this, I'm guessing that you all must get on really well, because it's down to comedy timing, so it's a group that has to gel.
Definitely. We've all worked together now for about 6 years, doing one thing or another. As I said, we started off as an improv group, so we did a show called Lights, Camera, Improvise, which was all about making up a story, making up an improvised movie off the cuff, and just kind of happen to trust each other and go with each other's ideas. And I think because we come from that background, that really means that everyone's really, really in sync. And obviously, when you're on tour, you're just living together, doing the show together, three of us write together. So, yeah, I think it's...
So you all hate each other then?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we get on really, really well. As I said, we're just a group of friends who've got to take our show on tour, which is just absolutely fantastic. But I think from an audience point of view, I do think that means it's a really, really tight show. I think if you want to come see a good comedy show that's tight, that's slick, that looks brilliant, then this is the show to see.
It's on stage at the Grand Theatre through Saturday the 7th of May, 7:30 in the evenings, and you've got a Wednesday and Saturday matinee at 2:30 as well. Tickets are priced at £9.50 through to £24.50. You can give them a call on the box office, 01902 429212. Pop along to grandtheatre.co.uk to pick up your tickets that way, or of course, actually turn up at the box office. Jonathan, it sounds like an absolutely brilliant show. I'm looking forward to when I come and see you. I think I'm coming along on Thursday night, so it should be a brilliant experience, and I'm looking forward to the humour that arrives on stage.
Yeah, definitely. We're really excited to get to Wolverhampton. Can't wait to bring the show there.
Cheers. We all look forward to seeing you. Thanks for that. Ta-ra for now.
Thanks for speaking to me. All the best now.
And it's time to take some music now. It's the first song from Alexis Houston and Light.
The shroud of dark darkness had me blind. Stumbled in circles, my fear of failure, trying to try. Too afraid to look beyond to see what life could truly be. Never thinking there would ever be a brighter day ahead of me. Now I live out in the sun, claiming that my destiny's begun. Going for broke, win or lose, the path I take is mine to choose. I'm a woman fully grown, stepping up to claim my throne. I'm tripping not to ever feel the power that lives inside of me.
Brand new single from Alexis Houston, and she joins us now on the phone from the USA. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully.
Brilliant. Now, I can't help but mention the fact you're from a very musical family, whether it's your sister Whitney or auntie Dion, who've probably been there as guiding lights as far as music goes over the course of your childhood. But certainly you've got very much your own sound and a fantastic feel to your music.
Well, thank you. I definitely have to say I have benefited a great deal, I guess like almost every young female singer, from the legacy that is Whitney. But indeed, I really enjoy music, and I hope that what I can do is contribute something new.
Is it something that you've been doing since you were very small and you know, you've been doing it for quite a few years?
Yes. Music has been a part of my life from the very get-go. And although I trained to be a physician,
as you do,
I was still running around trying to do open mic when I was doing my A levels, and it's just been very much a part of me. And there's nothing else I can do.
Your music has filled your life, and it's now time for you to be sharing it. But this isn't your first foray into the world of music, is it? You've been releasing songs for a short while now.
Well, the single Light is from my new album that's coming out later on this summer. We have an EP that's coming out in the middle of the summer, so I guess it'll give audiences a teaser of what the full album's going to be like. This will be my sophomore album. About 3.5 years ago, I released my debut album, Speak Love, Life Lessons, and came to the UK, did a wonderful month-long tour, and got to see the wonderful country and meet lots of people. So I'm excited about this project, a little nervous, you know, because I've been away for a little while, and I'm hoping that people will embrace the music as much as I've enjoyed making it.
And we're going to hear a track from the album Speak Love, Life Lessons very shortly with the song Change. But tell us about where your music's coming from. And obviously, with the new album, there's been a lot of changes in your, you know, your own life in that time. And has that changed the way you've written some of your songs?
I think so. I mean, I've been writing songs for ad campaigns and for other artists over the years. And it was because of Paul Russell, a nice fine Englishman, who was actually chairman of Sony Music Publishing, ATV Music Publishing, who told me, well, you need to go and record an album. And so I decided, you know, I wanted to write from a personal perspective. I wanted to write songs that reflected where I was, what I was experiencing. And although it seems somewhat selfish if you say it that way, the truth is we all share very similar experiences, no matter how unique we may think we are. And so this album is just, I guess, a continuation of that. You know, Light, it deals with coming from a dark place, coming from, and overcoming challenges. You know, I've experienced a lot of difficult things in the past 3-4 years, everything from career challenges to the loss of my sister, and a lot of things associated with those things. And but also, too, I got married. I'm a new mom.
Aww.
And so those are the positive aspects of things. And I wanted to write an album that kind of took my audience along that journey with me. I didn't speak a great deal after the death of my sister. And I know people are very curious as to how I handled it or how you handle difficulty and loss. And so I wanted to put that in the album. And once again, in order to show all the positive things that I'm experiencing now, you have to use some of the challenges and difficulties as a backdrop to show the contrast. And so that's what this album is about.
And do you find it very much very different to writing songs for yourself than what you found writing for other artists?
I think so. It's a lot more challenging for me because you have to do so much more internal review and so much more introspection, as opposed to, it's very easy to project things on other people. I think it's a lot more difficult to tap into yourself and start looking at your own flaws and challenges and difficulties, especially things that are of a very personal nature.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to, you know, you have to pull the bandage off of a wound for a while just to tap into that mindset to write. And so it is a bit more challenging. The sound of this album is perhaps a little more experimental. I'm working with someone that I worked with on the last album, an English writer-producer. His name is Jake Ridley, who's worked with Christina Aguilera and a number of other artists. And we decided we're going to work together solely on this project and try to come up with some beautiful music. And so I'm excited about this. I really am. I think it definitely will show a certain level of maturity that I've gained over the past couple of years.
Are you a bit nervous, perhaps, of what people might think if it's that much different to what you've done previously?
I can't say that it's very, very different. I think it's probably a lot more pop-oriented. My vocal and my vocal arrangements are always going to be R&B, and you will always hear that girl from church in there. But at the same time, too, I think I want to show some of the musical influences that I've been raised on. You know, I grew up there. I spent many years in the UK. And of course, Jake's influence in the music as well. He brings to it some of the electropop and dance feeling from the work that he's been doing with some of the drum and bass EDM that he's been working with over the years. So it's definitely going to be an interesting hybrid, which is pretty typical of most artists now. And I think that also I'm not trying to fit my music into any kind of regular formula. I'm going to the studio, I'm writing songs, I'm writing from the heart, I'm arranging from the heart. And although it may not be a traditional format in some cases, it's great music. You know, Justin Timberlake did on his album, if you look at them, his pieces, some of his songs are like 6 or 7 minutes long. And they have different movements, almost like a classical piece. It starts off with a particular rhythm and then three quarters of the way through the song, it's a whole different feel, but it's still the same song. I think artists are now feeling, I guess, the right or the license to be experimental, to branch out, to be themselves, to not allow, I guess, the stereotypical formula to stifle their creativity.
And have you been working on the remixes that are coming up as well? Because I know there's a lot of remixes of your songs on the way.
Yes, I have. In fact, the remix of Light is probably going to be hitting dance radio and some of the clubs very, very soon. And this time around, as opposed to waiting until I finish the project, I'm doing the remixes almost simultaneously. So I'm spreading myself all over the place.
Very busy at the minute. Then.
I'm guessing you love to dance, though, as well.
Yes.
So the sort of energy in the music, you must be swaying and moving around even whilst you're trying to record the tracks.
I love it. I mean, I danced all my life, and when I write these songs, I see the performance. During the process of writing and recording these songs, I already see the performance. I already see the visual presentation of these songs. And movement and dance, and it's just such an integral part of the music to me. So there's no doubt that I'm definitely going to have a good time putting the remixes out there, and as well as some of the up-tempo songs on the album.
So when can we get our hands on Light?
Light will be released on May 26th worldwide, and the EP, Light, which will include about four or five other tracks from the upcoming album, will be out the first week of July. So I want people to go out there and listen to it and give me their feedback and enjoy this music. It's fun. It's festive. It's very much a spring summer anthem.
Absolutely, and it is. It has got such a good feel to it. I've been listening to your stuff in the car since it was sent through to me by your promotions people, and it is just really nice, upbeat, feel good songs.
Oh, good. I'm happy. I'm really happy. I actually like it so much.
Brilliant. Well, have you got a website where we can find out more and follow your details and get links to the purchasing
of
the tracks?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm on Twitter, but you can find all my social networks all connected to my website, alexishouston.com, and it'll link you to my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram. I'm always posting things now of my personal life, much to the chagrin of my husband. But I enjoy it. I really enjoy sharing aspects of my life. And when people get to know me and realize, you know, I'm a girl who cooks and gardens and wakes up in the morning with bad hair. And Beyonce, I wake up like this.
As I say, sometimes you do tend to wonder whether the artist is actually in control of things like Facebook and Twitter. So if somebody follows you, then they know that it's going to be you that's going to be posting those things.
Yeah, definitely me. I believe I really want the fans, through the music, through whichever sort of interaction we have, I really want them to connect with me, whether it's good or bad, you know, connect with me, and hopefully we have a better connection with each other long term, and the relationship is more solid.
Hmm.
Alexis, absolutely lovely speaking to you. Fantastic listening to the music. As I say, we're going to hear a song called Change now, and this is from your debut album, that was 3 years ago. Tell us a little bit about Change.
Yeah. Change was a song that came out of, it's actually one of my favorite songs. It just came out at the end of a relationship. And with all this conscious uncoupling that's out in the media right now, this was one of those types of songs where I was in a relationship where it had just run its course. And I wanted to make sure that we ended it on good terms. You know, we entered it loving and respecting each other, and I wanted it to end that way.
And did you play in the song before you released it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he did get it. In fact, he's still one of my biggest fans today, which is testament to trying to resolve issues and make sure that you leave no bad energy behind.
And if there's a tune about it as well, that can always help smooth things over too.
Yes. It's challenging. It's a challenging thing to do, but you know, sometimes we have to do that.
Alexis, it's lovely speaking to you. Keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of your work as we head through the summer this year.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Great speaking to you. Thanks. Drop it out.
Bye.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
I remember all the promises you made to me. I do.
Promises.
so caught up and lost in love that I could hardly see you. Where did we go wrong? Why did we stay so long? Were we only fooling ourselves? To think we could live forever happily.
You say this time things will be different, but I know this for sure.
Jody Craddock's testimonial takes place at Molyneux on Monday the 5th of May, and the man himself is here with me to tell me a little more about the event. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Now, it's going to be quite a big day. The match kicks off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but there's more than that, isn't there?
There is. I think at half one, the players that are, you know, have been playing this season, have won the league, are going to take the trophy out on the pitch and, you know, just show the fans. And, you know, show their you know, give their thanks for their support. And it gives the people that maybe didn't get in on the Saturday, couldn't get a ticket from the sellout, to come and see that and, you know, enjoy that moment as well.
And in your career, you've been there, you've been part of teams that have won trophies. So, you know, how is it going to be for them, do you think, based on your own experience?
Well, come Saturday, you know, it'll be for them. It'll be a big buzz. It doesn't matter what division you're in. If you win it and you win the trophy, it's fantastic, and you want to remember that day and you want to celebrate it and you want to share it with everybody that's out there. So they don't come along that often, these moments in football. So you know, you really do cherish them when they do spring up.
And you know, through a long career for yourself and the testimonial that follows on from that, you'll be looking back and reflecting on some of those moments. And what springs to mind for you as you look back over your footballing career?
Yeah, there's plenty of moments. People always ask me, oh, what was your favourite moment? But I haven't got one favourite moment. I've got plenty. You know, obviously, the promotion time, you know, the years I spent playing football in the Premiership against some of the best players in the world, you know, playing local derbies and winning them games, you know, that's fantastic memories. But I think the thing I'm most proudest of is sustaining a 20-year career. You know, it's really, I think these, you know, with the pace and how physical the sport is, it's really quite difficult to do 20 years in a sport. So I'm pretty proud of that fact that I've managed to achieve that as a footballer.
And it's a Wolves squad versus a Sunderland team, and some big names on both sides.
Yes, definitely. I got the Mighty Quinn and Super Kev coming back from Sunderland. You know, they're a massive partnership up in Sunderland, and you know, I'm hoping they're going to draw some fans down from Sunderland. I know it's a long way for them to come, but hey, even as a Wolves fan, to see that pairing back together, you know, that's somewhat special because they were so big up there. And but saying that, you got Alex Ray, who was big with Sunderland and Wolves, Mickey Gray as well. You know, it's surprising how many players that have been on both teams. You know, Gary Breen, Neil Collins. You know, there's quite a few players. So yeah, and then obviously the Wolves players. You know, trying to pull some lads back, like Sylvain's coming back, Christophe Bearer. I'm trying to get Hunty and yeah, Big Matt Murray. Everybody loves Big Matt Murray, so he'll be in the sticks. So yeah, should be good.
And Matt's joining in at half time as well.
Yeah, he's doing a penalty. We're doing a penalty competition where, you know, they get to win a place to take penalties against Big Matty. So three people take three penalties against Matt, and you know, he's a decent goalkeeper, so you got to be on your game.
You're not going to get one pass back, money. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen at all, is it? And you say there's it does start early as well, because there's going to be some school kids playing on the pitch too.
Well, yes, you know, just some a little extra. We're doing some mini soccer games. You know, basically I help coach an under 10s Cookley team, and I manage an under 8s Cookley team. So, you know, for my own sins. So basically, I've decided to get the under 8s, 9s, 10s, and 11s. You know, they get to choose a team that they want to play against in their division, and we're going to get them out here at a, say, like a half 10 kickoff, have two games going at the same time, and you know, just something for them. You know, something for them, something for their parents to come down, see their lads play on the Molyneux, because it's a, you know, it's a fantastic place. And hey, that'll be the only time, as sad as it sounds, that some of them players will ever play on a pitch like this. So, you know, for them to take this opportunity to enjoy it and yeah, and have a good day.
Just to look around the stadium from the centre circle, I mean, it's an amazing experience as a player, and to hear the crowd, and the crowd, maybe their parents on this occasion, making some noise for them, but even so, it won't take anything away from that moment.
No, of course it won't. Like you said, it'll be the parents that will all come down and watch that, and you know, hopefully there'll be a few there, and you know what parents are like. It's not just mum and dad, they want to bring nan and granddad and brother and sister. So, you know, that was the idea. Let's get some more people through the gate by, you know, getting the kids involved and the parents involved in that.
Giving them that opportunity. And this is the culmination of your testimonial year. There's been some great events, and you must have really enjoyed the level of support that you've seen, and the appreciation for you and your time playing.
The support's been fantastic. You know, I've enjoyed the year. It's been good. It's not been easy. My committee members have put a lot of hard work in, and you know, I've really had to step my game up in the last few weeks getting these players to agree to this game. But you know, it's been good, and I can see why you're only going to get one ever. You know, one testimonial ever. If you manage to get two, you've done exceptionally well.
And the amount of work that would go into that is phenomenal. So, tickets are on sale now. You can get them from the ticket office at Molyneux. Give the ticket line a call, 0871 222 1877, or pop into the ticket office itself. And they're going to be promised a fantastic day, aren't they?
They are. You know, we've got some great players out there, some, you know, current players that are still playing, so... You know, some fantastic older players, so like myself.
Jody, great speaking to you.
Thank you.
Let's take some more music from our featured artist this week. It is Alexis Houston, and this is the Digital Dogs remix of Actions.
With actions.
Here in the studio we have with us a gentleman who is going to be cycling from Cornwall back to the Midlands, and it's all part of Cycling for Harry 2014. Dan Morris, hello.
Hello.
How's it all going?
Not too bad at all.
Oh, yeah. Ready and prepared?
I'm getting trained. There, slowly.
How often have you been training for this?
Train on average 3 to 4 times a week.
Oh, okay, so you're all prepared in that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's all coming together. Now, it all takes place on the 22nd through 25th of August, and this is all part of what Stuart Toop was taunting us with a little bit earlier on this year, and the fact there's an exciting event coming up, and it involves two teams, so do explain more of what's happening.
Yep, we've got two teams, one coming back from Glasgow to Birmingham, one coming from Land's End to Birmingham.
I like the names, because one is the Haggis team, the other one's a Cornish pasty team, isn't it?
Team Pasty and Team Haggis.
That's the way. And I'm sure there's special T-shirts involved in that too.
There will be.
Oh, with a haggis and a pasty.
Yeah.
And you look more like a pasty man than a haggis man, to be honest.
I definitely am.
And was there a draw to see who was getting involved in which side of the team?
No, we kind of all put our names forward to the charity, and then basically we all got picked out to go on either team. Obviously, there's got to be a balance on each team of the same amount of riders.
And this is what your first charity event, personally?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And how did you choose this charity? Because obviously, I mean, Harry Mosley was in the news rather a lot, and he did some great work before cancer sadly took him too soon.
True, yeah. I was actually on jury service, Birmingham Crown Court. Met one of the organisers there. His phone was going off all the time. And I said to him, you know, you're a busy lad. Mm. Explain what he was doing. And I said, I'd like to do it. So we exchanged numbers and got on Facebook together, and... yeah, I just said I'd do it. It was an inspiration to everybody. I remember seeing Harry on the news, you know, when he passed. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know, it'd be lovely to do it. And as you can see, I'm not the fittest of blokes, but...
hence the pasty comments, I think.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You've got a fine physique. I agree entirely with your health outlook on life. But this is going to change, you know, you personally, probably both physically and emotionally. And the trek you have to do is a fair few miles, isn't it?
One,
yeah, it's over 300 miles for each of the two teams.
And you get it uphill, the others get to go downhill.
Yes.
Does it not work quite like that?
Yeah, Stuart, explain that to me after.
So how long are you hoping it's going to take you? Is it you're hoping to do it between those two dates?
Three dates.
Yeah, the three days.
It's over three... It's over
three nights,
22nd,
four days, isn't it?
To the 25th inclusive, so it's four.
On plan to be able to
so
do that.
Really, we're averaging an 80 mile a day. We will have stops, you know, to get out of breath, have something to eat, a drink. Obviously, healthy snacks and drinks.
Carbohydrate is essential when you're doing these things. That's the important part.
But you do need a lot of calories when you're doing that many miles. So
we've got to go. I've got to go and see a nutritionist. That's the one. Myself.
No, that's quite impressive. If Zoe knows a word that you don't, that is very unusual. And that will bring home to you exactly what you're going to put yourself through. But it's all in the good cause, and the finance from this is going to help a lot of different people.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about helping other people in their times of need. So you know, for me, I'm willing to put myself through it, and the rest of the lads are as well, and ladies. You know, we've got some girls on board as well.
Is it sponsorship then? Have you been gathering to?
Yeah,
to
we have got one main sponsor. Mm. It's Martin O'Place in Birmingham. We are after more sponsorship. Yeah. You can find all the details on the website. But personally, all the riders are getting their own sponsorship, you know, to put into the funds as well.
And you'll probably have Just Giving pages and the like too. And you can probably find all that from the website you mentioned, which is?
It's www.cfh2014.com.
So that stands for Cycling for Harry 2014. So cfh2014.com. Get yourself down there and you can find details. And you also, I suppose, be able to track the team through that and through the Twitter accounts that are linked
to it. We're all on Strava as well.
What?
So we know
Strava,
where you are. So
what on earth's Strava?
We all track our rides on Strava, so everybody knows that we are doing the training that we're supposed to be doing.
Are you satellite tracked? Is that what you're telling
That's
us?
That's the one.
I've never heard of it. But there we are.
I think, does it say how many miles you've done and how quick you've done it in and things like
average
that?
Average speeds.
Yeah.
So we'll know
how many pasties.
What your climb was. Yeah. Your hills. Yeah, the only thing it doesn't tell you is how many pasties you've had.
I think we need to get that installed as a feature, but there we go. So, we've mentioned the fact that people can sponsor you. Once again, go to the website for that one. 22nd through 25th of August, so you've got a little while before it all happens. And, the support team, is that all set up in the background?
We've got a support team as well,
Oh, if somebody fancies joining you, can they sign up?
I think now all the places are taken. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there can be a message sent through the website to see if there's any availability, if anybody's dropped out.
But there will be more events. And,
plenty of events, definitely. Yeah.
And there'll be links back through to the main page for Harry as well.
Yep.
Excellent. Dan, thank you for joining us on that one.
No problem.
Good luck with it. And just before you do go, what is the thing that worries you most? And don't be too explicit about the whole
in
ride.
In regards to the seats.
Yes. Saddle sore is definitely the worst part of this, yeah. as our accommodation is showers, no baths.
Oh,
so it's going to be lots of cream.
Have you had any expert advice on that? Is it pillows you do, or is it how you sit?
Pseudocreme is the important thing.
Yeah, I first went and got a gel seat straight away, just in case, and then padded shorts. Then they're talking about chamois cream, and there's different things you can do to to supple yourself up.
Wasn't a phrase I was expecting today, but there we go. Dan, good luck with the ride. Thanks. And we look forward to hearing from you and the guys as we head closer to it and see how the totals are going and finally get more about the sponsors involved. But most importantly, once you are on that run, we wouldn't want to be having a chat with you, see how it's all going, okay?
Thank you.
Brilliant, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Our last track now from Alexis Houston, Love Will.
Oh, love has its day in the power in it. It thrills you, it fills you, it builds you up. From the morning till the late night, it can heal and appeal to the truest heart.
See?
Alexis Houston with the DJ Ridiculous mix of her song Love Will. Wolverhampton celebrates 10 years as a free trade city this year, and Bickley is going to tell us more about a special picnic that's taking place on the 10th of May to celebrate that fact. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm Zoe. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So tell us a little about the fair trade movement and how it works within Wolverhampton, first of all.
Well, that's got to be over 20, 30 years old now. And in 2004, we became a fair trade city. Some people, well, Mavis McManus, she was the leader, and other like-minded people got together, and we became a fair trade city. And I have to say, the late Lord Dennis Turner did a lot to champion us becoming a fair trade city.
There is more and more fair trade brands around now, isn't there? You can get them almost anywhere, whereas before you might perhaps have to go to a specific store to pick something up.
Well, yes, all the major supermarkets now sell fair trade. Some sell more than others, but the co-op has a good range of fair trade products.
Mm.
But we actually have a fair trade shop as well, don't we?
Yes. In fact, we're opening a new fair trade shop on the 10th of May, the same day as the Bantock House, because it's World Fair Trade Day, that particular day, you see. And it's a good opportune time to do these things. Yes, it's going to be down Salop Street, 10 Salop Street.
And there's definitely an appetite for this. And it's good to know which products to go for. Because we were having a little bit of a chat earlier on. I said I probably wouldn't mention this, but I've never really got on very well with fair trade tea. And, which is odd because I'm pretty good at drinking tea. I'm only on decaffeinated these days. But even so...
Yes.
Like the taste of it?
No, there are different types and different brands. And it's exactly the same within the fair trade world as it is within the big brand names we're used to. So which ones would you recommend?
Well, they do a lot of tradecraft. I like the fair trade tea that they do, but you can get that in the fair trade shop, more fancy. And also, Sainsbury's do a nice, strong fair trade tea now, their own red label.
Ooh.
So that's nice, because I like a good, strong cup of tea.
And it's good to see the fair trade logo on things like Cadbury's products these days.
Yes, well, that's a big bonus, yes. Cadbury Dairy Milk. And also on the Kit Kat, that's fair trade. And also Maltesers, they're a fair trade. So it's good that the bigger brands are
picking up on it now.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when it first started coming through, the fair trade, and it used to be that the products were quite a lot more expensive than... You know, some there are other equivalents, but now it seems to be evening out, and you can even pick up some of the fair trade items, you know, cheaper than what the other brands are now. So
they're very, very competitive now. Yes, they are.
And I suppose that's because a lot more people are buying them now, and I suppose it's gradually building up and up and up, and I suppose that'll bring the price down, won't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I mean, we want the supermarkets to stock more, get the message out to a wider number of people, And some supermarkets are really doing well.
Hmm.
So Saturday the 10th of May does see, obviously, not only World Fair Trade Day, but the Bantock Park picnic. So what you're really asking is people to come down, have a picnic, enjoy themselves in the glorious surroundings of Bantock Park, but bring at least one fair trade item as part of that meal.
I was going to say, they're supposed to bring a fair trade picnic.
And even if it's only a bar of chocolate, you've done your bit to start off with.
Well, that's right. And a lot of supermarkets sell fair trade bananas now, so that's a healthy snack.
Yeah, I think the bananas was the first one I saw. Yeah, so and they're not badly priced either.
No.
Have a banana.
Yeah.
And as what time do people need to be down there?
Well, it's from 12 till 3, so we're hoping for a lovely sunny day.
Fingers crossed for that one. And any other special events going on, or things that people can see and find out more about fair trade?
At the moment, we've sort of got our hands full with the fair trade shop because you know we had a fire in Darlington Street. That's where we were originally.
Ah, right, I wasn't aware of that.
So we've got this new shop, and we've been busy there painting shelves, getting things organising, volunteers to man the shop or woman the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's open from Tuesday through to Saturday now. So this is taking quite a bit of our time.
Mm.
But a good way for people to be able to make the choice on what they're putting in their shopping basket each week.
That's right, informed consumers.
That's the way we like it.
Yes.
And I think Wolverhampton leading the way with that one, I'm sure, as well.
Oh, they do. They're very active in Wolverhampton Fair Trade. They really are doing well.
Long may that good work continue and people buy the right products. And not only that, but enjoy it. And whether you're looking for a healthy snack or whether you're looking for something a little bit more naughty, there is definitely something there for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So get along to Salop Street. And what time will the store be opening on the 10th of May?
Well, it'll be opening from 9 till 1 on the 10th of May.
Who's cutting the ribbon?
Well, we're not having a launch as such.
Mm-hmm.
We're just opening the shop. We'll have a launch later on. Watch this space for the launch.
Perhaps Jason would like to go and cut the ribbon.
Oh, that'd be
I think we'll find a real celebrity, to be fair, but there we go.
I like Jason. We'd like to challenge you to do some tea tasting.
Oh, that might not be a bad idea as well. That would be quite good fun to come down to.
Yeah.
And lovely speaking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
and keep up the good work, as I say, with what's going on there on Fair Trade in our city.
Thank you. Thanks very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Bye
bye. Bye bye.
Well, that's it for us this week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And
for
Dan, you just turned up.
No, I'm normally here anyway.
Yeah. Dan, thank you for coming in.
No problem at all. Thank
Give
you.
Us the web address one more time if people want to find a way of donating to Cycling for Harry 2014.
It's www.cfh2014.com.
Thank you for that. And thank you for taking part. It's going to be a really good event, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Right. And we'll be back next
Lovely.
Week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.